podcast is brought to you by the 99 Network, New Michigan's premier spot for all your local podcast needs.
Kill my
mind. Warning. This podcast has language of a mature nature. Spencer and Eddie don't know what they're talking about, and in no way should be taken seriously. They are idiots. In fact, this podcast should not be listened or viewed by anyone. But regardless, welcome to the Basement Bar. Beers and babble. Cheers.
Building an ocean liner? Oh, wow. In Minecraft. Oh, nice. Okay. I thought it was one of your new hobbies. Hey, you're like, he's out here. He's welding.
I changed my name to Noah. Yeah. And I'm trying to build an ocean liner.
He's like,
I'm getting close to retirement.
I was about
man.
To say, what's your midlife crisis? Well, I'm building an ocean liner.
Ocean liner. That's why I'm taking the welding course.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah. You got to get,
those steel plates together somehow.
Yeah, that's right. You got to keep
super glue will only get you so far.
Keep those gaps tight.
Man, fucking duct tape needs a.
They
there.
Do.
Yeah. He just, you see him out there with the fucking, what is that? He slaps a sticker on the side.
Oh, something seal. Flex seal.
Flex seal.
Yeah.
You got a whole
should have thought of that.
Damn.
Yeah, fuck a welding
Where were you
cord.
Guys when I needed it?
Spend $300 on flex seal, you'll be all right.
Holy cow. Well, welcome back to the Basement Bar, Beers and Babble.
It's time for Double Oak Round 2.
That's right. The guy's so nice, we had him twice. Welcome back, Dr. H. The Hizow.
Ooh, we got a show for you today.
So we heard. I don't have one of them soundboards. We're not fancy. Fucking Michael Winslow and that's all.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
We're a pure acapella based podcast.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
We used to have an acapella group, Beautiful Dissonance. You remember that? That was a fun stint with Lee. Good old Lee.
Lee White. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lee Daniel me. Jr.
What did
yeah.
he sing?
Bass.
Nice.
Yeah, he was a good bass.
He actually was a very good bass.
Yeah.
He sang one of the solos in the Requiem, the Mozart Requiem.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Did very well, too.
Did nice. He? Yep. Which
That's
one?
That's awesome.
No.
Tuba Mirum.
No, that was Josh. Because I wanted to sing the Tuba Mirum.
No, Josh Torche did not do the Tuba
Mirum. Yes, he did. Swear to God, Josh Torche sang the Tuba Mirum.
You Eddie, sure? This is
yep,
doctor.
Because I wanted to sing it. And you were like, you sound like a 400-pound opera man. That's not what we're going for. Josh is prettier.
I'm
like,
positive I did not say that. And Josh is not prettier.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. All right. I'll you know.
Yeah.
It'll anyway. Agree to disagree.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, we got a great show for you guys coming up.
Yeah.
So normally we ask what you've been listening to, but
we did that.
Since we already did that,
yeah.
What you been watching? Anything that's coming on the TVs, you know, when you don't want to drink alone and shit?
I have been watching several older movies because I'm an older guy.
Yeah.
And I've been watching a lot of old black and white.
Okay. Like Charlie Chaplin like type.
Charlie Chaplin, Casablanca. Casablanca. Young Frankenstein.
I am. That is such a great
It's
flip.
So
That
fucking
is a good,
good.
One. That
it's
is a good
so
one.
So fucking good.
Gene Wilder, come on. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
But I am.
Thank
I,
you.
Yes.
Yeah. Fine.
Yes.
Over
Stay close yeah. to the candles. The staircase can be treacherous. Oh,
Come
yeah.
On.
It
oh,
is.
Yeah.
It is good. It yeah. is really good.
Yeah.
Madeline Kahn.
Madeline Kahn.
Oh,
fucking Madeline Kahn.
Talk about Playboy.
Yeah. Sorry. Anyway, this one went off the rails real quick. That's always what the second show is.
Yep.
That's good.
You're
I
a little
like
looser.
To be off the rails.
Yeah.
I do.
That's right.
So what you been watching?
I'm the little engine. I'm the little engine that couldn't.
I'm the little engine that didn't give a shit.
Like, I think I can. Maybe.
You're just like, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. God, that's so much work. Sorry. You've been watching old stuff. What have you been watching?
Well, I mean, I'm a big fan of
Hitchcock.
Of James Bond. I'm a big fan of Hitchcock.
Nice. Yeah.
So, but I tell you, my wife and I like to watch films together, and we sometimes actually will actually go into a movie theater, which is unheard of these days.
Yeah.
Well,
but my God, they
gotta
have
be
recliners and
yeah.
hell.
Oh, yeah. They got to do something.
But we saw Oppenheimer.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's a good flick.
I fell in love with that film. I really did. It was an amazing, amazing film, and my wife hated it, which is pretty typical.
Yeah.
She was very big critic, or what? For her, it was just too cerebral. You know, they talk about quantum physics so much, and if you don't have any interest in physics at all, I can see where it would be.
It's just blah, blah, blah.
Right, and you don't understand what they're talking about, and I kept saying to her, Einstein's theory of relativity.
Fusion versus fission.
Remember that? Right. Anyway, so I liked it so much I bought it.
Oh, wow. And I use Vudu streaming services now. Vudu, Fandango.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, yeah, so I've been I've actually been kind of on a marathon of those movies.
No, I'm going to yell at you.
So, but yeah, that's I've been watching that and then I came across an older film that's a favorite of mine, Amadeus, with Tom Hulce.
It's always like 2 o'clock in the morning. I've been drinking a lot, and I'm like, "Fuck, I want to watch Amadeus."
Yeah,
it's so good. It's a great film. Yeah, yeah. Constanzi, this is a nice girl, and this is another very nice girl, and another very nice girl. It brings these hookers home, too.
Yeah.
One of my favorite older flicks is Goodfellas. That's my favorite movie of all time.
That's a great flick.
Yep, great flick. Love it. It's got a bunch of good actors in it, but wow. Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
A young Robert De Niro.
Yeah. He was on the news today.
For what? What did he do now?
He was. The Biden campaign was standing across the street from where the Trump trial was being held, and they did a plug for the Biden campaign, and Robert De Niro did a plug for.
Oh wow!
Well, his plug was more like, "Don't vote for Trump because he's going to take over the world and going to be. If you put him in the White House, he's never going to leave." That type of thing, and kind of. Like everybody else does, likens him to Hitler.
Hyperboling.
Yeah, hyperboling. That's good. Yeah. That's a good one. No haikus, unfortunately.
And no small poems. Yeah.
Eat shit and die. No, but anyway.
Eat shit and die.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
Today. Yeah. That's what makes it a haiku.
I can't believe it's not butter. No. Sorry. No, I'm pissed. You fucking last show, you were like, what are you listening to? And then nobody cared to ask me.
Oh!
What? Are you?
What have you been listening to? Sorry, Jesus.
I'll drink for that. I've been on an ICP kick. Been listening to some Insane Clown Posse.
Okay,
man.
Nice.
With the Juggalos. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is funny. Because he was talking about Russian Gregorian chants and shit. Yeah. And I was like, Juggalo, whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great juxtaposition. And then we completely fucking forgot.
Oh, that is an awesome juxtaposition.
Thank you.
Russian Greek Orthodox Gregorian chant.
Yeah.
Which isn't really Gregorian, but yeah.
You know what I mean.
I do. I do indeed.
So, what I've been watching, though, Tiffany...
Clementinian.
Orange? It's orange?
Yes, it's orange.
Or Clementine. Orange. Clementinian. So, see, I don't
you know what,
Eddie? I don't know shit about fuck. I keep telling you. So, we've been watching. We burned through the 3 seasons of Ghosts.
Ghosts is so good.
So
I have not seen it. I've only seen little bits and pieces.
It's so good.
You would like it.
We're halfway through season one of Yellow Jackets, which is fucked up.
I've never seen it.
It is really, really good, but it's fucked up. Yeah. It's about soccer team that their plane goes down and they have to survive in the woods. Shit gets crazy.
It's like the book The Hatchet, except with a whole bunch of people.
It's kind of more like Lord of the Flies.
Oh, nice.
Which is a great book.
Yeah.
See,
I have a deep passion for the conk.
I
And I'm out.
I was going to say that
shell,
was a great...
The you dirty
stop
bastard.
It. I love the book, actually. Lord of the Flies was really good. I've never seen the flick, but...
The flick is good, too.
Is it? Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you, that's
the
only comparison I can tell you where I actually enjoyed the film...
better
more
than the
book.
Interesting.
Because normally it's the other way around.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah.
But the film was very well done.
Wow.
Very well done.
Good. Yeah, I've
that, mine
thoroughly
would have been 50 Shades of Grey. The movie was much better than the book.
Oh, yeah, because you don't have to read all that shit. You don't have to imagine.
See, don't try to get cerebral on me, motherfucker. I will drag you down like a crab in a bucket.
Not just a crab, folks, but a crab in a bucket.
No, what I've been watching, one of me and Robin's favorite things to do is either get high or get drunk, blah, 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 and go and watch those original movies. So you go to Netflix. It's like Netflix original or Amazon original or anything like that. Those are fucking hilarious. How poorly made are those films?
Some are good.
They gave all the money to
the
Adam
other
Sandler.
Ones are very bad.
A lot left over.
Yeah, so a lot of them are very poorly made, and we laugh at the fuck at them. There was one that was called Sex Appeal. Oh, it was terrible.
Did we watch that? I wonder if we watched
that. Oh, my gosh. Have you watched that? Have you seen Sex Appeal? Holy shit.
I just bashed myself in the face with them.
So when you get to be this age and married for 40 years,
and you're like, oh, my God.
Sex in it, you're going to go for
it. Yeah, right. You're like, holy shit, like PG-13 porn.
Yeah.
He's like, exactly. they watch As Good As It Gets, and they're like, yes, it is.
Yeah, there was a point in time. So this girl was, like, studying sex, and she was trying to, like, make this app that makes you have the perfect sex. And she asked her best friend. Yeah, she asked, basically, yeah. So she asked her best friend to, like,
or
go down on her or whatever.
Case,
and then he's going down, and the way they did it was hilarious.
It was.
And, like, there was this door, and he was like, this is a clit. And he's like, does this feel nice? And he's just rubbing the door and pounding it. Dude, I was laying on the floor.
We're going to have to watch
dying.
This. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That sounds great.
You got to be some sorts of fucked up.
Yes.
I will be.
I was high as shit. And I couldn't even open my eyes enough to laugh. Like, that's how bad it was. You know when you laugh and you squint?
Yeah.
That was me before I laughed. When I laughed, I wasn't even seeing nothing. Like, it was just like, you know.
I couldn't open up my eyes enough to laugh.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, I like
see?
That.
See?
A lot.
See? Yep.
look like Wayne when he sees a little baby.
Jesus.
Good letter, Kenny.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That's
sweaty.
I got a wild question for you before I ask you a serious question.
Oh, shit.
But the rest of your life, you can either speak in rhyme or riddles. Which way are you going?
Riddles all the way.
Really?
Riddles all the way.
So when you're dying to tell somebody something and they don't quite grasp it, you're going to hit them with another fucking riddle? That would bother me.
Because
you know how like you have those moments where you're like, just fucking figure it out, dumbass?
Yes.
See, you can't. Riddles will never give you that.
Well, no, it will.
You'll just be pissed the rest of your life.
But I like that. I like that sensation. Here's the thing.
I love pissing people off.
This guy comes up to me and says, this guy and his girlfriend are about to have sex, and she says to him, I want you to fuck me with all 12 inches and make it hurt. So he bangs her 3 times and hits her in the face with a brick.
I had been at my company for a month, and we had what we call happy hour. So one Friday after work, we go down to the atrium, and we're all drinking beers and getting to know each other and bonding and everything. And then they start telling dirty jokes. And the entire HR department is there as well. And one of the HRs says a really dirty joke, and we're laughing, whatever. And they're like, do you have any? And I was like, well, I have one. And I said, that one. I thought I was getting fired.
Yeah.
Nobody laughed. They were all very concerned. And I was like, it's not, no, you know, and then you have to explain it, and then it's not funny, and then I saw myself out.
Okay, but that's just it. The people that don't get it are the ones that I like, oh, my God.
How could you not?
Just do the math.
Yeah.
Just
4, 8, 12, yeah. 4, 8, 12, hit him with a brick.
Even my buddy in Austria got it, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So. But anyway,
it's pretty easy. Yeah.
He doesn't even know English. He just
riddles all the way, only because I Eddie can tell you.
I love
this.
When people don't get it.
I love it when people don't get it, and I love fucking with people's heads. I mean,
oh,
it's
yeah.
just I have some of the best mind sex, and people are unaware.
There's one time this girl was telling some story, and she's going on, and she's one of these ha. And there's a lull, and Dr. H goes, at Cornell University.
Oh, no.
They have something called the tunneling electron microscope. With this piece of equipment, They are able to see into the very fabric of existence, the most minute building blocks of our atoms or something. And he goes, if I had that microscope here right now, I still wouldn't be able to locate my interest in your problem.
Oh my God. Oh my God. You went so deep to dig on her that bad.
And she's like, what?
Yes. Yes.
And he just.
And that's why. That's why.
You were like, you were so dumb that I don't
she's
even have
she's not going to get it anyway.
I just. And it's only happened a handful of times. But when I know he starts with. At Cornell University, it's somebody's getting fucking roasted, oh, yeah. And I'm so excited to watch it happen.
Fraser Crane.
Yeah. Oh,
oh
yeah.
Crane. Fraser.
Roger. I want to explain something. He's talking about it. So should it be called the Delilah or the Miss Lucy? Roger, I want you to pay attention. At Cornell University. Roger, if I had that microscope here with me now, I still wouldn't be able to locate my interest in your problem. So
oh
what do I
God.
Name her?
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's one of my favorite episodes.
I'm going to put that in my back pocket.
I love Frasier so much.
I really am.
We talked about that on another episode. Like, what's your top 10 TV shows of all time? And Frasier is my number one. I love it so much.
Oh. You were really excited that Frasier was coming back.
Oh, yeah.
It's I don't think it's ever going to come back because of what happened at Harvard. You know, they showed the president, they had the president of Harvard on the show, not the real president, obviously, somebody who represented happened to be a black woman. Mm-hmm. And after what happened with the whole Palestine and.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to come back. They're not going to renew the seat. They're not going to renew it.
That sucks.
Which I thought some of the humor was exceptionally good, especially with his son.
Yeah, with Freddie. Yeah.
That was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then Roz comes back in the very final episode.
Yeah. Yeah, Perry.
Yeah, I can't think of her name either, but I was one of I had a big crush on her.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's another one favorite of his is, great. Thank you for telling me that. I'll have to add that to my list of reasons to die.
How droll.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, there's so
That's
many
amazing.
Good. Amazing. Yeah, so many good. So many good comebacks. I love it.
Oh. So you're going with riddles then?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Riddles. That was the fucking question.
Yes.
Wait, that was our tangent.
Riddles.
The 15-minute tangent. I
riddles,
love it.
Riddles. Eddie? Why is a raven like a writing desk? There is no answer.
There is. I wouldn't have been able to tell you that, but thanks for giving me the answer.
Yeah. Just add that to your list.
What
of
is the average velocity of a swallow?
What are you going with?
What is the average velocity of a swallow? Monty Python?
Talking about the bird.
Yeah.
A swallow? Fuck off. Eddie, are you going with rhymes or riddles?
I think I'd go with rhymes.
I wouldn't want to rhyme.
Because at least I can make a living rhyming. You know what I mean? Like.
If you do
rapping
it real fast.
And stuff, yeah. I could be like Fat Vanilla Ice.
Okay, rhyme right now.
Chilling at the bar and we getting real drunk. This motherfucker's got to come. Like, I got nothing. I can't do anything.
No. Didn't rhyme one time.
Yep. Yeah. No, I got nothing.
I can rhyme anytime.
Yeah. I was a poet and didn't know it.
Yeah.
Good. That's good.
Yeah.
That's very good.
As a teacher, you could say.
Here I sit so brokenhearted.
Or you could be like. Like the Red Wheelbarrow type rhymer. You could do like the Red Wheelbarrow sits behind.
What?
The Red Wheelbarrow rhyme or whatever.
I don't know that one. Tell me.
I'd be able to tell you if I paid attention in Disher's class.
I'm too poor to afford to pay attention.
The Red Wheelbarrow sits with rain spots besides the white chickens. That's all I remember.
The Quick Brown Fox jumps over the Lazy Dog.
Yeah, something like that.
I got nothing.
Yeah.
But I'm glad.
Oh, yeah.
He listened to that and was like, what the fuck am I doing here?
What light 300 window brings? No.
He was thinking about Cornell's fucking microscope.
I was.
Yeah.
I was. For a hot minute there. Yeah. I was. What so, light through yon window?
Yonder window.
That's not a rhyme.
I know.
Okay.
It just made me think of Shakespeare.
Shakespeare.
Yeah, we're
He's
talking
not a
about
rhymer, him. Is he? He's not a poet.
He's a poet, but
you
he's
would
not
call
a
him a poet?
Rhymer.
Blow the winter wind. Yes, he was a he did have some poetry.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
See, well, I don't know anything. I would have figured that like the sonnets would have been poems, right?
You know that one because we sang it.
Oh.
Oh yeah, blow. Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
Very tooth.
Didn't
is
we
not
sing
so
like Canterbury Tale shit too, some Chaucer and all that? Yeah.
Yeah, we did. Chamber. We did a whole tribute to literary figures.
Oh.
It's just a tribute. You gotta believe. And I wish you were there.
So I kind of want to segue this into studio stories. Real. So you were talking about studio stories when I was taking a piss, and I kind of want to hear about them. And while you're going, I'm going to take another piss. But
why
I'm
you
also,
fucking
I'm
going to miss him again? Jesus. After these messages, we'll be
After
right
these messages.
Back.
Hold up.
Do you love terrible B-movies? Fans of wrestling and Power Rangers? Step into Amityville Studios and join Rick and Eric for some side-splitting laughter and great banter on Wider Range of Conversations. Find it where all podcasts can be found. Wider Range of Conversations with Rick and Eric.
Oh, shit, we should have paid for this.
Did you see him in one of the most
Man
recent
Named
ones?
Otto?
Yeah.
So good.
Oh, that,
so
that good. Yeah, that's sad.
It is sad, but
is.
Very well done. Very well,
it was
very well done
well
film.
Done. Yeah. It was very good.
Okay, so you're
Tom
back.
Tom Hanks is great.
You're back from peeing. You're a peeing.
I was peeing.
When you're out of the bathroom, you're American. When you're in the bathroom, you're a peeing.
You're
anyway.
Again, truly, you are a gifted individual.
Mama said it ain't my magic shoes. So, studio stories, like store stories, but in the studio. There you go. There's an In the Studio with Dr. H. Come down to these dulcet tones.
Dulcet tones.
Yeah.
Dulcet.
Yeah, because you used to work as a studio artist in Nashville, didn't you?
I did.
Hell yeah. How did that go? Because you play piano. You're one of the greatest pianists in the... In the world, and
penis piano,
yeah,
greatest,
yeah,
all the same instrument,
yeah,
all the same.
I think you even call it Steinway, right? You
yeah, know, I do.
Yeah,
Steinway.
Yep.
Unless I'm in Germany, then it's Buzendorfer.
Ooh, I like that. That's sexy.
Buzendorfer. You
got
to say
like
it like
see
it.
My Buzendorfer.
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 Ooh, jeez.
That's right. Depending on the weather, it's a baby grand or full.
yeah. These days, it's.
These days it's a stand-up. It's a Hammond B orchestra.
Yeah,
that's an organ.
I wouldn't mind a Hammond B series. That would be great.
There
That'd
you go.
Awesome.
Yeah, but working as a studio artist, that's pretty fancy. That's cool. So you're on a lot of albums. You're like some of the greatest hits people have heard. You're in the background tickling the ivories.
Some. Not a lot. As a rehearsal pianist, you're often only called in to rehearse with certain musicians. Just to set tempos and to lay down tracks, you aren't always on the tracks.
Right.
It's just the you're there to keep time and help with, you know, fills and things like that.
You're the person in the movie industry who just stands in a spot so they can set the lights.
Pretty much.
Ah.
Pretty much. But you're paid. Well, actually, you're paid like shit. So it's.
But that's still very exciting.
It is. It is because you do get to meet a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. You get to meet a lot of people. You get to be a part of the magic.
Yeah. Willie
Studio
Nelson.
Studio time is magic.
You got to meet Willie Nelson.
I got to meet Willie Nelson.
Fuck off. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. It was amazing.
Get out.
He was not.
As high as you would have thought.
He had a very strict rule. And his motto literally was, and I was told this before he walked into the studio, was, if you're wired, you're fired.
Oh.
So, oh, shit.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. But.
So we can't hear any of the stories.
Well, I mean, you know, the issues that I had at, this was a studio that was eventually bought out by MCI. The issues that I had were not necessarily with the artist or with the talent. It was more with the management, because you were kind of like a substitute teacher. You were on call. So you'd be dragged in often at the last minute, and you know, you didn't know what you were going to be playing, you didn't know what you were going to be doing. And sometimes you had to deal with people that were assholes. And so it was, but it was a very good experience. I enjoyed working in Nashville for the, you know, I was only there for about a year, and I met a lot of people, and it's kind of funny because I found out that, you know, remember me talking about Roland Wallace?
Yeah.
He actually worked in Nashville for a while,
nice.
Too. Yeah. But I never met him while I was there. We never, our paths never crossed.
Okay.
But yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's to get to learn, you learn a lot about the industry.
Okay.
And you learn about how things are, you know, how an album is engineered and put together.
Yeah.
And it's not what you think. It's not, you know, you might think that they come in, everybody comes in at the same time and they lay down a track. It's not how it happens. it's often
individual,
much more involved.
Yeah. Layered and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you got to play with who? Whitney?
Whitney Houston. That was a kind of a fluke. I did not expect that to happen.
Oh my God.
Living in a little town called Middlesbrough, Kentucky. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but the actor Lee Majors is from Middlesbrough, Kentucky.
Nice.
And so he, for example, like Dolly Parton, she pumps in a lot of money into the Sevierville school systems, and she's a fantastic philanthropist. Lee Majors did the same for this little town.
$6 million man,
yes,
right? Yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, they were having their commencement exercises, and they asked me to come in and play, and they did not tell me what was going on, and I didn't understand why they wanted me specifically. And when I got there, there is Whitney Houston, and she's going to be singing the national anthem for the beginning of their commencement exercises.
That's great.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's wild.
That was pretty awesome.
Wow. There was another impromptu you got thrown into. You were telling me about with a famous Southern belle.
Yeah, yeah, Miss Dolly. She was.
Love Dolly Parton, dude. I am a fucking huge Dolly Parton fan.
She's a great lady.
Dolly really Pete, that's my baby.
She's great. But yeah, I was the band I was in at the time was fronting, and their band's the bus broke down on their way to the gig, and it was a very short gig. It wasn't any elaborate thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, they came to their manager came to our manager and said, "Can we use your shit?" And we said, of course, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, you don't say no to Dolly.
No.
But then as the evening wore on, they found out that the keyboardist was not going to be there on time. So they said, would you play for Miss Parton? And
no fucking shit,
yeah,
I'll play for Dolly.
Right,
are you kidding me?
Right. And I actually did get to meet her. She was doing a couple of her signature hits. And at that time, 9 to 5 was one of the big ones. And I happened to know 9 to 5. But I'm sitting there going, holy shit, I'm going to be playing for Dolly Parton. And
wow. What
key is she going to be doing this
in?
I don't know if she's doing this. And so
they didn't give you music or anything?
They didn't. No charts. Just... No nothing. No nothing.
They were just
because I knew the piece. But so I thought, I'm going to have to ask somebody.
Yeah.
So I walked up to the manager and I said, okay, what key? Oh, I don't know. I go to so-and-so. Man, I don't know. Why don't you ask Miss Dolly? And I'm like, I can't ask Miss Dolly anything.
Yeah.
And so I did. I walked over and introduced myself. I said, Miss Parton, I'm going to be your accompanist. She said, just call me Dolly, honey.
I would have shit, I'd have been at a fucking 12.
Man.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm going to be sitting down playing.
Yeah. Yeah, holy shit.
But I said,
it's not like she's pretty or anything, but that's Dolly fucking Parton, man.
Yeah.
No, she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
She is the most beautiful woman on earth because of the things she does and how she carries herself. I'm sorry, but that's
even
just the
today.
Truth.
Even today.
Yeah, that's just the truth. Yeah. She is translucent as far as the eye can see.
Yeah.
I mean, she's gorgeous. But anyway, continue.
Well, it's just...
You went up there.
I told her who I was, and she said, just call me Dolly. And I said, ma'am, what key are you gonna sing this in? She said, oh, honey, just follow along.
So she didn't know.
Just basically,
she
didn't fuck you.
She knew.
She's like, basically, just fuck you. Like,
she knew, and she plays guitar herself very well, actually.
Yeah.
And so... I started to turn around. I said, all right, ma'am, I'll do my best. And, well, the first thing she said to me was, you better be a good boy, like that.
You better be good, yeah.
But I'm walking back away from her, and she says, we're in the key of G, darling, in the key of G's. Which I should have figured out.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was an amazing time.
Wow.
I also got to play by just a fluke. I was in the right place at the right time. You guys will not know this name, but her name is Lulu Rowland.
Okay.
And unless you ever watched Hee Haw, you would never know who this person is. But the show Hee Haw, which was on big time in the late 60s and 70s, there was a huge lady. She was obese. And her name was Lulu. And her full name was Lulu Rowland. Anyway, in addition to her show on Hee Haw, her spot on Hee Haw, she was also a very talented singer. She was amazing.
Okay.
And she would travel the country doing gospel music.
Oh, neat.
And at that time, I was in a gospel band, and we were at this gig in Harrogate, Tennessee, I think was the town, at Lincoln Memorial University.
Oh,
and
yeah.
In walks Lulu Rowland. And she says, her manager, said, wait, our pianist is not here. Can you play for Miss Rowland? And I was like, oh. Because as a kid, I watched her growing up.
Yeah.
And I knew who she was. And I was like, okay, yeah, you know. I never got to actually talk to her, though.
Oh, okay.
I met her, but she just came out and started singing, and I had to play. Yeah. That was it. There was no... You know, this is going to be in this key. No. Yeah.
You just figure it the fuck out.
Jump in and follow along.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now,
but, yeah.
Do you like doing that? Does that scare you at all? Or is it just like, hear it and go with it?
You know, I guess because...
Do you have perfect pitch? Are you a perfect pitch guy?
No, I do not have perfect pitch.
He's
have
very good relative pitch.
Relative pitch.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't have
perfect
pitch.
That's what I do. Okay. I'm good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think since...
We can't be all Hanna-Barbera.
We can't.
Or Hannah.
We can't.
Yeah. What's her?
Perfect pitch is insane to me. That really is. It's mind-boggling.
It is amazing, and I've had many, many friends that have it. Have many friends that have it, and you know, you you go through. I was on a 6-hour plane ride once with one of my friends who has perfect pitch.
Yeah.
And I was continuously, you know, just like, what's this? What's this? I had my phone out playing a little keyboard going, what's this? And he finally turned to me and said, would you fucking shut up? I cannot stand this anymore. I swear to God, I will move to the back of the plane if you don't fucking shut up. But it was just astounded me.
Yeah. Just blows you
any
mind.
any pitch, anywhere in the spectrum, he could
do it, right?
It off. And he was, you know, he's a semi-famous composer, I guess now. But anyway, yeah. That was a good experience. I enjoyed it. And any studio time I've ever done has always been a learning experience for me, I will say. But to answer your question, most of the bands that I have played in have been like that. It's like nobody, you might have charts if you're lucky, but for the most part, you're just playing what everybody else is
throwing to the dogs. Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean,
it's like you'll get it.
So now I'm to the point to where, especially if it's a jazz combo I'm playing with, I just say, don't worry, Daddy, I'll read your lips.
Yeah.
And I have to apologize because I feel like I took advantage of your talent back in the day.
Why?
I used to work at Cracker Barrel. And they had a Christmas party and they're trying to think of entertainment and everything. And I was like, I know a guy. I was like, he's a great entertainer. And I was like, hey, man, you want to play some Christmas tunes? And he was like, yeah, I'll show it. So he showed up with his piano, and we set up, and I had my saxophone. And I think I played like 2, maybe 3 tunes with you. And I was just like, all right, dance monkey. And he's just da-da-da-da and with the saddest look on his face. And I was like, you're amazing. And everybody, I mean, because you are amazing. So everybody was like, oh, my God, this is phenomenal. We need to have him back. And I think they gave you like a $50 Cracker Barrel gift card. And you were just like, please don't ask me to do this again.
It wasn't bad.
And I think the next time it was at my wedding. That was wild. I had
a fun time though.
I got to have the Dr. H play us in the processional and play the organ that church had never heard like the precision that you had. What? What are you looking at? What is that? Oh my God. What the fuck?
That just crawled out of the fucking sink.
Well, don't scare it. It's going to bite you.
No.
Wait, let me take a picture quick before you kill it.
No, I'm going to kill it.
I don't. Hang on. Where is it? I don't see it. Oh. Damn. Oh, I didn't get it. Kill it. It's big as fuck. That thing's like the size of a silver dollar.
Is it fighting you back?
Oh,
What is that? Was that like a...
That was a huge fucking spider.
Is that like a wolf spider or something? Dude, that thing was massive.
That thing was crazy. But anyway,
holy shit.
I think I want to drink after seeing that, yeah. So it's time for Beer of the Week.
Beer of the Week.
Beer of the Week.
Beer.
I'd have a beer. Give me a
hell yeah. Beer of the Week.
In school.
I have been schooled.
I wish that was caught on fucking...
I'm still going to say cocoa.
Fuck no, you. No, it's cacao.
You're cacao.
It's cacao.
All right, Lightning McQueen, settle down.
Cacao. Ka-chow. Fuck. I got the mustache on the green car.
Wow. Beer of the Week is Mint Condish from Prairie Artisan Ale.
Sounds like I have a stutter saying cow. Cow.
It is a, it's a stout, an 8% ABV from Krebs or Regional Brewery in Krebs, Oklahoma.
What does it have in it? Cacao beans?
It's got cacao. Cheers.
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 Ka-cheers.
Ka-cheers. You can really taste the cacao in that.
Yeah, it's very cocoa chocolate. It's good stuff.
Mm.
It's like fake chocolate. Not highly as processed as chocolate.
There's
I think your brain's not highly processed. One.
I'm having difficulty tasting the mint.
Try sniffing it.
Yeah, as you breathe, like, don't... That choke, but that, breathe in as you drink
that,
it.
That kind of gives you
I've
that mint
just
chocolate.
Been asked to snort beer.
Snort the beer. Goes to your system way faster.
That's very tasty. Mm. That's very tasty.
Not bad. I give it a 3.25.
See, I'm going to give that a flat 4.
Flat 4.
Yeah.
Not very minty. Thank you to Ideal Party Store, where we get all of our fancy
cacao
beers from.
Meals,
Ideal
yeah.
and Salzburg and Johnson.
Salzburg and Johnson, baby. Find your ideal deal.
Not the corner
ideal.
Of Salzburg and Johnson.
No.
There is one on Salzburg and one on Johnson.
Does Johnson run to Salzburg? Jesus
huh?
Christ. As I said, does Salzburg run
that
to Johnson?
Yeah. Well, it runs to Kosciuszko or 22nd or Young's Ditch, whatever fucking name it decides at that point.
Anyway, when you're
it
driving
changes
by
name
and
like
you see
five
Ideal,
times.
You see Ideal.
Go ahead,
check it out.
Get in there. They sell cacao nibs in a glass.
Nibs. Cacao nibs.
Now the question is, what
I'm a level 4 heavyweight.
Is a nib?
Just a little skosh of something.
It's like a smaller nib.
It's a skosh.
It's a smaller nib.
You know when you're reading like ingredients to like a baked good, and it's like, hey, just a skosh.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, just a,
okay, a skosh. A scant.
Yeah. I believe a nib yeah. is...
Just a little kiss of something.
It's Jason Alexander when he gets out of the pool.
I had to think about that one for a minute.
George. It was George when he gets out of the pool.
So, something we like to do, we didn't do it last episode, so I'm hoping for a double banger here, but we like to do beer trivia.
Oh, yeah, Eddie I forgot. I completely forgot
trivia.
About the beer trivia.
And since we
beer
have a doctor trivia. Here, Holy I can't wait fuck. To school him in beer trivia. Yeah. So, here we
and,
go.
Right. And I will need to be schooled.
Well, school. I never get them right, so this might be my one and only chance. Give me an easy one, Eddie. Please.
All right, hang on.
Cacao! Sorry. I thought that was the answer.
Ooh, here we go. A Moscow Mule. Consists of vodka, ginger beer, and lime, served chilled in a copper mug. What liquor could be subbed in to make a Kentucky mule?
Fucking whiskey.
Be more specific. If we were on Jeopardy.
What is
well, but
Kentucky bourbon?
Ah,
bourbon.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah, that was the perfect
way
yeah.
to
Thank
go.
You, doctor. Hell yeah. Yeah.
That was the perfect beer trivia.
Yes.
Yes. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, perfect beer trivia Thank for you. Dr. H. Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
I like that. He goes, if we're on Jeopardy.
I like a Moscow Mule, and he raises his hand.
Yeah.
He's like,
I know
this
know
one.
It.
I know
yeah.
this one. And then I said it, and he got so sad.
I did.
Like, not realizing
I
there was
did.
A second part to the question.
But, yeah.
But then
I've
he got
actually,
real excited
I've actually
again.
Had both of those, so that's
nice. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I'm glad you took a seat on that one and let me get it. Cause
hey,
that
you. Yeah. You the man.
You the
yeah,
man.
I did get that one.
Good with job.
A little I get by with a little
job.
Help of my friends.
Get high with a little help from my friends.
Not anymore, unless, you know, we
no.
Not
get
anymore.
Drunk with a little help
yep.
from
yeah,
my friends.
That's drunk I can do.
That's true.
Yeah. Beer and I have a good relationship.
Yep.
I stick to beer.
That's good.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like
the bourbon in the cold. In the winter times, I like to drink.
See,
bourbon.
That's the thing is I work with it, so I lost interest in it. You know what I mean? Like, I just
maybe that's
I
why a lot of couples
time.
Don't work
you
together.
You lost interest in bourbon?
No, weed.
Oh, weed.
The weed.
I was
why are you
say,
saying it that way?
Now we can be friends.
Say yeah. cool. Yeah. Cool. Say whip. Say cool whip.
Cool whip. Why are you saying the H so tough?
Why are you over?
What are you talking about?
I'm not. About? What?
And this move is totally not gay.
It's only gay past the first knuckle.
That's true. You know what I've been watching a lot of? South Park. I love South Park.
Yeah, I just watched the new with about the Ozempics and all that.
Oh, yeah.
The glutides.
I haven't seen it yet.
Semaglutide? Is that what it's
called? Stop it.
It's in the trailer.
My wife has seen it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh. Tiffany hates South Park.
Barb
really?
Yeah.
Shocked the shit out of me that she even
watched it. Yeah, hell yeah. But. She's like, oh, they're talking about relevant things. Yes, that's South Park. Like,
well, here's the thing.
The Simpsons predict the future. The South Park talks about relevant things.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go. Barb normally watches things like
Rick and Morty,
The Crown, and
oh yeah,
oh shit.
She watches a lot of death.
Yeah,
that's Tiffany watches everything with death. Dateline, 2020, 60 Minutes, ID Channel.
No, Barb likes to watch crime stories and
death,
CSI, and
yeah,
there's something else that she watches all the time.
Bones.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
She used to watch Grey's Anatomy all the time.
Oh, I'm sure.
Tiffany's big Grey's Anatomy.
So,
20 fucking seasons.
Is that about death?
No, Grey's is just like...
I mean, it's hospitals, so kind of.
Yeah.
People die eventually.
I fucking hate hospitals.
Dies,
so
me too.
Yeah, I can't do it. Every time I walked in, I'm like, oh my God. The best thing about a hospital is the food court. Like, or the lobby when you're leaving.
I remember when you had your AFib and I went into the hospital to visit you and... You're sitting there puffing on your cigarette, and they're like, "They're legal. It's fine."
Yeah.
Yep.
Like you just had a heart issue.
I can remember whether
like,
it was you or someone else that came in, and my wang was just like totally exposed.
Oh no, that wasn't me. Not that time.
Wow. That's a good one.
Well, you know,
there's another story I'll get to later.
They go, please. They give you those hospital gowns, and they are not.
No, they're not.
You must have put it on fucking backwards. It's supposed to open your ass up, not your balls.
I'm not sure what happened there or why this person noticed it, but anyway, there it is.
Just like, hey, nice. Schlong's on. You're like, attaboy. Yeah, good catch.
Attaboy. What'd you call it? Gloop flopper or something?
So I kind of, you guys have such a good chemistry. I really want to know, what were your first thoughts when he came into... your existence when he came into your life. What were your first thoughts on Dr. H?
I was packing meat at the time.
unlike you, you were doing something crazy.
No, Sam and I worked at Jack's Meat Market. Yeah. And
well, I knew it had to be something at a meat market.
Oh my God.
I was 18, and we were working at Jack's Meat Market, and he's like, "Hey, I'm doing choir at Delta. You should join choir." And I was like,
To be fair.
To be fair.
I was not standing in Jack's Meat Market at the time that I said this.
No. This is Sam saying this to me.
Oh.
Sam said this to me. Gotcha. We were at Jared's house.
You're not a big fan of Jack's Meat Market?
Yeah, because Jared worked with him.
It's a great
place. Oh, I love Jack's.
Oh, okay.
I buy all my bacon from Jack's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, same.
They also sell great peaches, if you didn't believe it or not.
They do, and I actually buy a lot of produce from Jack's.
Do you?
I'm a one peach man.
Yep.
I stick to, anyway.
Oh, I love peaches. Millions of peaches for me.
Anyway, Sam was like, "Hey, I'm doing this choir thing. You should come join choir."
Yeah,
and I was like, "I don't know." I'm real
door breaking, Sam.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Door breaking, Sam. That's one of his
DBS
many monikers. So,
toxic girlfriend, Sam. Hotel Hellion, Sam. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, God, I fucking love Sam. I feel bad. He invited me to his wedding, and I think we were out of town, or I don't know what the fuck we were doing that weekend, but I was upset.
Breaking doors?
Yeah, I was fucking kicking doors in. So angry, I couldn't, but anyway.
The important thing is he's very happy now.
Yeah,
Good,
he's a good guy. He's good. Software engineer,
he's a good
I believe.
Guy. He's a good guy.
Yeah, real good guy. Oh, yeah. So, he was like, come join choir, and it wasn't until that was the first semester you were doing it. Yeah, and so it was the second semester that I joined, and it was wild. It was really cool because the only choir experience I had was high school, and so I came in there, and it was much more difficult. We were learning, much harder pieces, and I only ever demand perfection. It's a common phrase from Dr. H, but he did. He was able to teach us and push us and make us better. And it was, I didn't leave. I didn't, it was fantastic. It was, I ended up being the assistant director of the choir for a few years.
Really?
That was, wow. I was there for a long, till 2012.
How'd you deal with that, Dr. H?
Right? Very precariously.
Well, no.
Very carefully.
Quite honestly, that was a program I started with Sam. Sam was my assistant for 11 years now. He was my assistant for a while.
Wow. Yeah.
And then he moved on to bigger and better things. And
yeah.
Eddie was kind of like the most logical choice. He at that time, was
the vice president of the, like, when we put that whole mm-hmm. shit into, that was weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of disbanded that.
Yeah, we tried it, and it didn't really, we weren't productive.
But, but yeah, as an assistant, the assistance program, that actually started with Eddie, because what happens is that gives a student an opportunity to see what it's like to get actually to the graduate level, because that's what you do as a graduate student. Often you're asked to be a teaching assistant.
Yeah.
And you basically do grunt work, set up chairs, you know, things like that. Or in Eddie's case, you get somebody else to do.
Yeah.
No, I had to set up the sound. I was the one who always set the lights up, set the sound, make sure the lecture theater, everything was all right. Yeah. And then section leader, like, just kind of make sure people would shut the fuck up and all that. Yeah, you know.
Do their job.
That was back when we had like 35 and 40 people in corral.
I have all the time in the world. And he just sit there and look around, and then you feel ashamed. It's like when your dad goes, "I'm not angry. I'm just very disappointed."
Oh, I hate that. I hate that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was fantastic. But that's, I was like, wow, this dude's really cool. He knows his shit. He teaches really well. There was a lot of, like, Mr. Vandenboom did a great job. And then it was just that next level up.
Yeah.
And the problem is that he's ruined me. So any other time I've gone to sing in a choir anywhere, I'm just like, this is garbage.
Yeah, this is garbage.
Well, it's not.
Yell at us.
I'm sorry. No,
damn it.
I apologize.
Yell at us.
No, I apologize. The other director, there, it was fine. It was good. I had a great time, but it was not the same caliber. Like, you were in a whole other level doing it. And out of all places, Delta fucking College, you know?
Tri-City
High had...
Is there a secret to your teaching, Dr. H? Is there...
A lot of bourbon and anger.
I was like, do you get...
Cheeseburgers and failure.
Smells like cheeseburgers and failure in here.
Do you push your students to that level to where they're stressed? There's something that brings it out. What is your...
It's pride. Like, it made
I will be totally honest with you. I had an absolutely outstanding line of teachers that preceded me, that taught me.
Okay.
And I wanted all of my students to experience at least a little bit of that.
Okay.
And so the thing that got me or made me push my students was I started out, the second time through college, I started out at a community college.
Okay.
And I was in a community college choir, and the instructor there, the professor there, she said, "Why is it that only the big schools, the four-year universities, can do Mozart Requiem and this? Why, you know, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
We should be able to do the good stuff too."
Yeah.
4A and all that.
Work harder.
Yeah.
And so, I just thought, you know, I have a doctorate. There's no way I'm going to slight these people because we're a community college. Why say we can't do the bigger choral works because we're a little 2-year community college? That's bullshit.
Yeah.
Let's do the good
stuff.
You
have a doctorate. You have amazing students. Push them to their limit.
And to be able to pull off what we did on 2 hours a week.
Yeah.
And that's all. You know, the 4-year universities get 2-3 days or more.
Or more, right?
We 2 hours a week.
But it really does boil down to the roots, the teaching and the...
Well, it helps when you have the horses, when you have the talent to be able to do that.
And we were very lucky.
Very fortunate.
You do need to have workhorses, though. You need to have people that buckle down and truly feel the passion of the art itself.
And I was lucky in that respect because students like Eddie and Sam and others were... Once the spark was lit, they carried it. And they went forward with it.
Yeah.
And I can remember, for example, the Mozart Requiem that we did, the looks on their faces when they heard
when
the
they
orchestra
saw it.
For
yeah.
the first time.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
They were just totally blown away, and they craved more.
Yeah.
And were
it's
in,
like a fucking drug.
It
really
is.
It
is.
We were in
you want it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were in St. John Divine in New York.
There's a 9 second
reverb. Yeah.
Holy
and
shit.
So they were singing a piece in German, and it had breaks in it. There's periods of silence.
Yeah.
And so
that would
they would
back.
Hear that, and they were just all of them, the expressions on all their face. Wow. I mean,
yeah.
You could
yeah.
see they were stunned by it, and that's what I was trying to convey to them. It's like, you don't understand. When this music was written, it was written for spaces just like this.
This
so now
yeah.
you're getting the opportunity to sing it
yeah.
in these spaces. So. Yeah. Yeah, that's an amazing thing to be able to say I had a small part in that education.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Chris Tanner. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, we had Chris Tanner
singing. I just ran into him.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Chris Tanner and we remain good
great
friends
dude.
To this
great
day.
Dude.
Real
yeah.
good
awesome
guy.
Man.
Great
yeah.
guy.
You know, he had a band of his own that toured. Yeah,
that's what
Dynamic.
We, that's,
fantastic
yeah,
guys.
Vince Dynamic.
Fantastic.
Still does it. Still does it. Is not very mainstream anymore.
Right,
but,
right.
But he was just talking to me the other day. I was.
He's married and he got a little girl.
Yes, he does.
Oh,
yeah.
Good for him.
I just ran into. We talked about Jack a little bit, and and we were sitting reminiscing or whatever, and I was sitting there buying my drum heads that I was putting on, and he was just
nice.
Like, he was like, God, I haven't seen you in a long time. And I was like, well,
yeah.
since I was like this big. And he was like, no, I used to come and watch your band. And I was like, really? And he goes, yeah, I'd be the guy that got a beer, watched you guys, and left before we were done. And I was like, oh, okay.
That guy, yeah.
Chris Tanner's a great dude.
Oh, yeah,
he
great
is.
Dude.
So
he's
nice.
He's an amazing man.
Yeah.
And he came up to me, of all places. I don't know if you know this about him, but he used to roast his own coffee beans. And
oh,
had,
no, I didn't know
he
that.
Had a, yep, he had a yep. coffee company called St. Drogo.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay,
best
cool.
Best coffee I've ever had in my entire life.
Really?
Oh,
no
my
kidding.
God. My favorite coffee
wow.
of all time.
Awesome.
But and he
made
doesn't,
from the heart,
he doesn't
man.
Do it anymore.
Right, but made yeah. from the heart.
As he sits there with his Tim Hortons.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I'm in all of all places, I'm in Tim Hortons in Bay City on Euclid, and he comes walking up to me. And says, I just want to thank you for giving me the music education experience that you gave me. And I'm in tears because
uh-huh.
he's just an amazing...
He is.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that dude's wild.
I get the same feeling from you. I mean, you've often made me... I'm very proud of you.
Aw, thank you.
And very proud of people like Chris and Sam and others. It's very gratifying to watch your students...
Become who they are.
Yeah. And, you know, even if they're not... Didn't go into music professionally or, you know, but just to watch them grow and watch them become, in Eddie's case, the man that he's become, and Chris is another example of that. It's amazing to see and to hear them recant stories that we went through. Even you know, even the drunk stories are fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But the fact that the music meant so much to them. And that's that's all I wanted to do
as
an instructor was to make a difference.
Yeah.
That's it. So
yeah,
and if I've achieved that, then I've done my job.
And I tell you what, you have.
Hells yeah.
You have.
I hope
from
so.
The stories I've heard, I mean, just unbelievable. And music is such a big part of my life that it makes me happy. It's an honor to be able to meet you.
Well, I appreciate
of how
that.
Much I've heard
but
about
please
you.
Please understand, it's an honor to meet you.
Well, I appreciate that as well.
There you go.
Yeah, you'll have to come see them play because they're really outstanding.
I was just telling Eddie, well, I'll have to have you guys as a guest on my podcast because I would love to be able to feature. I feature local talent, so
okay,
you guys are local talent.
Yeah, yeah.
Heck
it'd
yeah.
be wonderful.
Yeah.
It'd be wonderful to have Chapter 4 and Eddie because Eddie is a part of our band and will forever be a part of us.
So. Oh, shucks.
Yeah, well.
So you were talking about instructors who inspired you or molded you. I vaguely remember you explaining to me one time when you were like, oh, I had this piano teacher. All you said was, have you ever seen the movie Whiplash? And I was
oh
like,
oh my God,
I was
love
like,
Whiplash.
Yeah. He goes, yeah, I lived that.
No kidding.
Yeah, I did.
How did you dodge the chair, my friend?
It wasn't a piano teacher, though. It was my major choral professor.
Oh, okay.
Whom I idolized. He was the first choral professor I ever had.
And Miles Teller did great in that movie. I just want to put that out there.
Yes.
Other than
yes.
Yeah, he played a very good part.
J.K. Simmons.
He played a very good part as well. Everybody hated him. Anyway, regardless.
But no, this guy was like 6 foot nine and was an amazing conductor. And
a unit.
Yes. I would walk in to his office and I would totally become tongue-tied. I couldn't talk. I couldn't, you know, I was just in awe of his majesty and grandeur. and he took me under his wing and sort of imparted to me a lot of his experience, a lot of his knowledge. And I didn't realize it until about a year into my graduate studies that he didn't do this with everybody. This was something that was, you know, I should be very, very, feel very, very special because.
And where was this at?
This is the University of Tennessee.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Nice.
But he was very much, he was hard on me.
Yeah.
He was hard on the students that he felt were worth being hard on. And that was another thing is that he didn't say this to me, but I would say it to my students. I would not spend this much time and energy on you if I didn't feel that you were worth it.
Yeah,
now,
the potential.
You've heard me say that.
Yeah. Yep.
But he was brutal. I mean, absolutely brutal. I was in front of a graduate conducting class, and how it worked was all the other conducting students became the choir, and you are the conductor.
Yeah.
And he would stop me every 3 seconds, every fucking 3 seconds. No, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. Go back and do it again. Do it this way. Do it this way. And I was like, literally, I ran from the room in tears. And I'm at that point, I was 30 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting outside in the quad outside the music building, and he comes outside and he going to get a little emotional here. He puts his arm around my shoulder and he said, I have to do this. I have to be able to tell you what's wrong, because if I don't tell you what's wrong,
yeah,
you're never going to achieve your potential. And at that moment in my life, something clicked and I was like, he's doing this for me. He's not trying to be a pompous asshole. He is actually trying to help me get to where I need to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the rest is history. Seriously. It's just
wow.
Well, and it translated. You used to do that with the choirs too. There'd be times where it'd be struggling, we get frustrated, and you're like, no, again, or, you know, come in, like, you know, breathing, this, and it was so strict, and it was so just perfect. It had to be perfect because we were able to do it. And there were many times that he'd do the same thing, and he's like, the only reason I'm pushing you and I'm acting this way is because you're worth it.
Yeah.
And that's what sent us to New York.
And
that's what sent you guys to Europe and to, like, it's
that's what
wild.
I feel like he was saying earlier. He said every one of my teachers had an influence on how you teach today.
And they did.
Yeah.
Every single, not just the teachers, but even like my audition at Juilliard was like that. Was,
holy
was
hell.
That,
I didn't know you did that.
Juilliard.
Yeah. It was horrible.
Well, I mean, that's very stressful, obviously.
Well, I mean, the when you sit there in front of, you know, the Juilliard piano
board,
faculty,
yeah,
and I was
yeah.
going there for a piano performance, which I had no business doing. No business whatsoever. But anyway, and you play, I want to say I played a Rachmaninoff C-sharp prelude, which I shouldn't have attempted either, but I thought I did pretty well. Anyway, you get done with the audition. And there's one, you know, there's the head of the piano pedagogy faculty, and she looks at you and she says, who told you you could play the piano? Well, when somebody says something like that, you know, the first thing you want to do is just, you know, slit your throat because this is all you. But I was a young, what was I, 19?
Wow.
And the opportunity, first of all, to go to Juilliard and even audition was amazing to me. And I was like, I'm here in Juilliard. I'm auditioning. This is a privilege just to be in the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But to be told that was absolutely devastating, because 2 years prior to that, I had been told something very similar by another piano professor.
Oh, no.
And I didn't play the piano for almost a year because of what she said.
Wow.
So, you know, I learned a lesson, a very valuable lesson in that, is that what you say to a student can be devastating.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it can affect them for the rest of their life, especially mm-hmm. if they respect you.
Mm-hmm.
And you say something so derogatory or something so harmful.
Yeah.
You could crush somebody, you know.
Yeah.
And so I learned very, very early on in my own career, be as positive as you can, because... Yeah. if you take people from where they are, they can always grow. They can always grow. Mm-hmm. There's always hope for growing. And if you, but if you quell that and say, no, 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 that's wrong. And you never back it up with construction
why?
And yeah. why, then what? You shouldn't be in teaching.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. You have to give pointers, but also back it up.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Dang.
That's awesome.
That got real deep.
It did. I didn't mean to get quite that deep, but.
No, you're good.
We really appreciate it.
That, yeah. That was
really
wild.
Cool. I wanted to pick your brain on that because that, yeah, I always wonder that, you know, with the something so prestigious. I had a very prestigious band director that I've always wanted to pick the brain, and he was very hard to. Jason Lewis. He was He was very hard to.
That dude was.
Why?
To,
you know?
To. High school band yeah. is you to choir. Yeah.
Very
like that guy
respectful.
What?
He was a very yeah. respect, well-respected musician.
Yeah,
and,
he was. Yeah.
I was sorry to see him leave because I knew the program was going to suffer. Although I forget now who took over.
Wait, what?
He's no longer there.
Mr. Lewis doesn't do the band anymore?
Not anymore. Not to my knowledge.
Holy shit! When did that? I didn't know that. What the fuck?
I know we're... Wendy Graham left. And...
Well, I knew she retired, but I didn't know Mr. Lewis left. Holy hell. Yeah.
There's another Bay City School Systems music teacher, Central.
Oh, wow.
Choir director. She's retiring this year.
Wow.
Oh, dang.
Holy yeah. smokes. Okay. But Lewis, to me, he was a drummer, and I was a drummer, and I had the honor to be a four-year snare, and I remember him bringing me in the office and going, what in the fuck are you doing? He's like, you're not in charge of yourself anymore. It's your senior year. You've been doing this for long enough that all 17 of those motherfuckers out there are yours. Start doing something about it. And that wasn't him telling me do better. That was him telling me to take fucking care of it. And it scared the absolute shit out of me that I was the hardest person.
Take charge, yeah.
I was the hardest person.
Never forget that.
Yeah, no, I won't. I won't because I did what he asked. And when I did it wrong, he let me know about it.
Yeah.
But. I mean, people would go in there to complain about me, and he'd go, listen to him.
Nice.
That's what I told him. Hey, I told him exactly to do that. You listen to him. He's yours. When you have a problem with him, you come to me, and that, it just kind of went like that.
I did the
yeah,
opposite.
Lewis scared the shit out of me. He was a hard fucker,
yeah.
dude.
He got lippy at me one time, and I flicked him off, and he almost beat the shit out of me.
Oh, yeah. No, see,
office.
Lewis scared the shit out of me, man. I could have been bigger than him at the moment, but he scared the shit out of me.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't fucking.
Commanding presence. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
Dang.
Well.
It's about that time.
Yeah, I'm excited about some more Last Call stories because your guys' was last time was amazing.
Da-dang, dang, dang, da-dang.
Last call for alcohol.
This is the last call for alcohol this evening. Drink up, drink up, drink up, and order again. This is the last call.
Last call, round two. We're going to do it again. All of you listeners know what's about to happen. Dr. H already knows what's going on. Eddie knows what's going on. I'm
going
to start it off again. I got piss on the outhouse.
Who are you? What's happening? What year is it?
So I was camping. I think I was about 17 years old, getting hammered off of Bud Heavies.
There you go.
Up in the woods.
King of beers.
Yep, absolutely. All day drinking, fishing, drinking, cooking up great stuff, having great friends around. But it's a short story, but I remember I was sitting around the campfire, and I'm like, shit, I got to piss. And usually you just walk off in the woods. The world, you know, the world is your toilet.
You never say piss, I got to shit.
Yeah.
It's always shit, I got to piss.
Yeah, shit, I got to piss.
Well, that's true.
That is true, yeah. But you can't shit without pissing either, so.
Your hands can touch everything but themselves. Oh, wait.
But anyway, I was making my way to the outhouse. So where I camp, I rustic camp. I don't go to these nice bathrooms. I rustic camp. So it's either an outhouse
fucking
or a
dig
tree.
Dig the hole.
It's either an outhouse or it's a tree. So I walked to the outhouse, and I made it there. And I had a headlamp on. And if you ever walked into one of those outhouses with a headlamp, it's terrible. Everybody can see you, and you can't see them, right? It's like the opposite of a double-sided mirror.
Yes.
So I was like, you know what? Fuck that. I don't want everybody being able to look in the outhouse and seeing my wiener. So I pissed on the outhouse. And then
okay.
I walked back to the campfire and I told everybody.
Okay.
And they weren't impressed, but that was my last call story. I mean.
That's awesome.
The fuck?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Instead of getting pissed off, you got pissed on.
Yeah, exactly. No, I pissed on an outhouse.
Yeah.
Instead of pissing in the outhouse, I pissed on the outhouse. That's
there
about
you go.
It.
That's,
That's not all I got to tell.
Not many
See?
People can say
that.
No,
why,
exactly. See, I pissed on the outhouse.
That's why semantics matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Because like, they're like, no, you need to piss in the outhouse. And it's like, no.
You're like, oh, it's one letter off. Fuck. Yeah. I hate
not semantics, but semantics.
Semantics, yeah. Yeah. One letter
yep.
means a whole difference. Eddie.
The more you know. Bum, 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 bum.
Well, actually, I shouldn't say Eddie. I should say Sam and Eddie. We're here.
Oh shit.
Both of them say, oh, shit.
Wow, I just got the craziest deja vu. Anyway. Oh, no.
Oh.
You broke it. You fucking broke it. Get them.
My boots have a lot of traction.
Are they made for walking? Okay, so we were at a party in Frankenmuth at this little upstairs apartment one of our friends was staying at, and it was a nice, it was very quaint, you know, it's fun, and we're playing a bunch of games, we're having a great time, and it gets into the wee hours of the morning, and see, and I barely remember this. Dr. H had to tell me, our friend Kyle, who woke up naked in the fucking elevator on last time, he's with his girlfriend in the owner's bedroom, and Sam went in and fucking ripped him out and threw him. I remember he hit something like the fridge or something and yeah. like landed down and then like crawled into the bathroom to hide.
Almost like an Olympic event. I mean, it was kind of beautiful but sad to watch at the same time.
It was crazy. So I know it's blinking in and out. We go in there and we go in the bedroom and we're talking and we're having a good time. And I don't know what the fuck we were talking about. Calendar, something about calendar. You're like, oh, I've got too much shit to do, or I've got this going on or something. And we're having fun. And I don't remember why you did it, but at one point your pants came down.
Okay.
You got it. I know.
I have to preface this by saying I was coerced. Here are two of my students.
You got to remember, yeah.
Armed with a Sharpie.
Yeah, that's right. We had the, yeah. Go. We grabbed it from the calendar. That's what it was. It was the Sharpie to mark that's where the calendar, see, sorry, a lot of alcohol. But we're having fun and.
Too much.
And, and Sam like kind of pulls down and you see an ass cheek of Dr. H and we write, Sam and Eddie were here. And he's laughing. He's like, oh my God, Barb's going to kill me. And we kept hanging out and partying and playing cards and everything. And I don't know what the fuck happened to Kyle. I think he ended up sleeping in the bathroom or something. And I just remember getting a call or text the next day. And you had to explain to me what happened when you went home.
Well, it wasn't necessarily when I went home. It was when I got up the next morning.
Yeah.
And so here we go, revealing to the world. I am a natural sleeper. Okay, that's enough said. And I get up to go to the bathroom, and my wife said, why is there writing on your ass? And I said, there's not writing. She said, yeah, there's writing on your ass. I said, what? And so I'm literally trying to, you know, see my own ass to find out what's on my ass. And these jokers have written, Sam and Eddie were here. On my right ass cheek.
Oh, I think because you passed out. I think you had like legitimately passed out. And Sam was like, let's draw on him.
The
I
horrible
think that's
part
what fucking happened.
Was she calling me that night. Because I was telling her I was going to stay at the party, stay the night.
Yeah.
Because I was so far gone.
Yeah.
And she had to get, you know, she was saying someone has to take the children to school in the morning. And I could literally feel the hot breath on my face through the phone. She was not a happy lady that night. That was not a good night for me. No.
For you, maybe.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. Oh, that was so, yeah. That we had a lot of great times in that little apartment.
We did.
The poor old lady who lived beneath, oh, she complained so much. You'd hear the broom once in a while fucking hitting the... Hey, get out.
Yep.
Get out. Remember that?
What a night.
When I got stuck on the So I got a Dr. H loves this story. So I was in third grade. I was in third grade and we're out at recess.
We don't have any cigars here, do we?
No, I'm sorry.
I wish we did.
And we're out on recess, and they dare me to go up on the monkey bars. And you know the, like, ladder ones where you swing to swing to swing? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, one bar to the next bar. So I climb up on top of them, and I'm afraid of heights. And I get up there, and then I freeze, and I'm fucking so terrified.
My holy God.
Like, I can't get down. And then the bell rings, and everybody leaves. And I'm fucking frozen on top of the monkey bars, and I'm just stuck there. And after, I don't know how long, 15, 20 minutes, I see the school now at the windows watching as the janitor comes walking out with a broom and he starts poking me. He's going,
hey, get down.
He literally is like, get out, kid, get out. And I slowly start to back up and I finally made it down. But it was awful. The entire school, I got made fun of for, I had to leave that school. It was not fun. But that's Dr. H's favorite story of my childhood.
Of all time. That is my favorite Eddie story of all time.
Get out. Holy shit. Dr. H, you have NYC number two.
Okay. NYC number two. So the Delta Cloud Squires have been to New York to perform at Carnegie Hall now 3 times. The second time that we went.
Oh, don't tell. That was so much.
Sorry,
anyway.
You went out.
The AIDS, honey.
Oh my God.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I keep going.
We went walking through Central Park and at night, which is pretty dangerous.
Was this when that one girl died?
No, that was, you were with us that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We were walking. I don't know what park. That was, yeah, we're walking through some park and you just hear.
Not only heard it, you felt it.
And
this poor girl was. Ginormous.
Yeah.
And she fucking blacked out just in the middle of the day. And we're like, what are we going to do? We can't move her. Like, we can't.
It was awful.
Like,
it was horrible.
It was so bad.
Here comes the bobcat. You're like, yep. Bring it.
Oh, my God. Sorry. Continue.
Call Triple
I got to put the mic down. I'm
gonna keep... She would stand outside the rehearsal room or any classroom that I was teaching, and she would just stand there. And I would come outside, and there she would be, just standing there. And I would say, is there something I can do for you? No, I don't think so. That was always her answer.
That's always it. Yeah, I don't think so.
Anyway.
I'll keep it. I'm sorry.
NYC number two.
NYC number two. So we got back to the hotel, and we went to the bar at the bottom in the ground floor of the hotel, and I was getting completely wasted on sidecars. I never had a sidecar in my life. Yeah. And this Korean guy is our waiter. He was a great guy, and he's bringing me one after another. And so he finally brings our bill, and I'm handing him a credit card.
Did you just go to get your credit card out?
I did. I was going to demonstrate, but I thought, wait a minute. No one can see this, so it doesn't really fucking matter.
Yeah, settle down, Carrot Top.
I handed him a Speedway gas card, but it wasn't a gas card. It was just the Speedway.
Yeah, card, yeah.
And he's looking at it. And he's looking at me, and he's looking at it, and I said, what's wrong? And he says, this is not the credit card. And so I said, oh. So I pulled out another one.
Yeah.
And this was a Sears card. And he says, I can't take Sears card, sir. And so I keep, Lowe's, Home Depot. And so finally, I'm taking all my credit cards, and I'm just throwing them. I'm just throwing them. And this poor guy is trying to grab credit cards. Yeah. Finally, he sees a Visa or a MasterCard, one of the ones that I had, or American Express, one of them. He's just like, this one will work.
Yeah.
Thank Great. God.
Yeah, yeah.
And I am totally blasted. I mean, I'm gone. And I remember
Proper
the
hammered.
Previous year when we were there, there was a piano, a grand piano in the lobby. And I said, I am going to play that piano.
Yeah, don't give a fuck where you are.
So I took off in a dead run. You remember Jonah?
Yeah, oh yeah. Great
Jonah
guy.
Was my
Real
assistant
guy.
At that time. He says, oh shit. And so he comes running after me because you're not going to stop me. I'm going to find this fucking piano, which I can't find it anywhere. Nowhere. Anyway, he says, all right, H, we gotta get back. It's time for you to go to bed. It's time for you to go to bed. And I'm like, fuck you. I'm not going to bed. Yeah, it's time to go
I'm
to bed.
Find this fucking piano. Yeah.
Him and Roger get a lot of like when they get drunk. Where they're just like, get off me. That fucking, I'm going to do what I want.
We get in the elevator, and I swear to God, I am so wasted. And we I just remember we're going up in the elevator and I'm looking at the numbers, the buttons and the numbers. Mm-hmm. And this is a 35 story hotel, something like that. There's no number 13.
Yep. Right.
Yeah. There's
and
never.
I'm looking there's, and I'm going,
there's never.
Oh 13. My God. There's the 13th floor. It's gone.
We lost it.
And this guy is just cracking up. This random stranger in the elevator is cracking up. And I said, Oh my God, those poor people.
So much concern.
Yeah. You're like, those poor fucking people, man.
That's my last call. But I did
that's
manage.
That's amazing.
I got a phone call in like an hour later. Yeah. From
sir, your entire
from
wallet
the waiter
is still here.
From the waiter at the bar.
You have to sign this bill.
Your credit cards are down here in the lobby, sir. So I had to get up and go get my credit cards. Yeah,
that's amazing.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Holy hell,
great.
Jesus! Well, thank you so much again.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, this has been wonderful. We're gonna have to do this again.
Oh yes,
there's so many
please.
Stories.
Yeah. I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah. Well. Check us out, 989.network, bbbbabble.com. And as Ernest Hemingway said, always do sober always. What you said you'd do drunk.
Cheers.
Prost.
Prost.
Did you enjoy this episode? Then check out more at 989.network, Mid-Michigan's premier podcast network.